Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. With us today, Dr. Sharon Melnick, who is absolutely an AMA favorite. She is a business psychologist dedicated to helping talented and successful people get out of their own way. She's informed by 10 years of research at Harvard Medical School and trained in cutting-edge stress resilience techniques. She's a leading authority in helping business professionals move to the next level and have success under stress. I could go much deeper on the biography. Suffice to say, she's an AMA favorite. She runs a whole bunch of webinars with us. She's got a book coming out entitled Success Under Stress: Powerful Tools for Staying Calm, Confident, and Productive When the Pressure's On. It's being published by Amacom, which is the publishing subsidiary of the American Management Association. Sharon, it's so cool to be able to say welcome to Edgewise.
Thank you, Dave.
Now, you say in the book that there's really only one rule you have to follow in order to have success over stress. You have to follow it in order to be calm, confident, and productive when the pressure's on. Okay. So what's the rule?
Drum roll, please. Okay, got it. Well, so just a little context. You know, we experience stress when the demands of the situation exceed your perceived ability to control them. So we only start to have a stress reaction within our brain and body when we focus on matters that are out of our perceived control. Therein lies the solution, right? The more you can control, the less you'll experience stress. So think of any challenging aspect in your career life now. For any of you listening, it could be, you know, the 30 to 100 projects the average business professional has on their plate, the 7 times an hour we get interrupted, annoying or difficult coworkers, market fluctuations that affect your business, you know, a person you can't get buy-in from, change initiatives, the limited opportunity for promotion, overcommitments. These are the common ones we hear, of course. So any challenging aspect, whatever the situation, here's how you can get ahead and be effective given these challenges. There are lots of factors contributing to your challenging situation. Divide the situation as if you were drawing a line across the middle of a page. List on the top all the aspects that you can control, and on the bottom half of the page, all those aspects you can't. The key to your effectiveness is to focus only on what you can control. That's your half, right? The only rule that you have to follow to be effective in challenging conditions is to focus on your 50%. And in fact, to be impeccable for your 50%. Now, what does that mean? It means really you take 100% responsibility for what goes on within your 50%. Your own thoughts, your own actions, your own communication, your own preparation, your own physical reactions. Now, of course, I'm not encouraging anyone to be a control freak here and to try to control other people. That's not what we're saying, but we're saying be effective at what you do and how you show up. Because literally, any moment that you put your attention on matters outside of your control, you're causing a stress reaction in your body and interfering with your performance. Mm-hmm. So do you want me to give you an example like from a recent training on resilience?
Sounds good.
So here's an example of how you can be resilient in the face of a challenge. This is sort of a common situation. Let's say in the afternoon, you're gunning to finish a stack of projects and you're asked at the last minute to give a presentation to the president of your division the very next morning at 9 a.m. And of course, you're set to meet your spouse that night for your daughter's year-end play. Crunch, right? Anybody might feel stressed in that situation. If you're not focusing on your 50%, here's how you'll be stressed by it. You might immediately get the news and kind of panic about how are you going to get it done and start to get worked up about it, maybe overwhelmed. As you're on your way back to your desk, your thoughts will scatter. You know, how are you going to be judged by senior management? How are you going to get it done and still get to the play? Can you get to the play or not? Are you going to feel guilty about it? You'll be worried about the implications if you present and then they don't refund your project. So at your desk, there you'll be. You'll get started with the first thing that comes to your mind, under the gun. Let's see. Just describe the project and the results and no time to really flesh out the go-forward recommendations. You'll get enough done, you'll go to your daughter's play, but you won't really be fully present, right? You'll still be noodling on it and worried about it. You'll go home, you'll wake up in the middle of the night a few times thinking about it and come in tired the next day. So you'll do the best you can. Your presentation will probably be fine in terms of getting the point across, but you'll be asked the hard questions. And then you'll be concerned the rest of the day. What will the decision be? How will you be evaluated? Okay, so you got the scenario?
Sure.
So what I want you to notice is that started off with an initial physical reaction of being nervous that led your thoughts to be worried. in terms of your performance, you got locked into tunnel vision, you lost your ability to think critically and creatively, and you focused on the problems, not the solutions. You couldn't really see the forest from the trees. What I want you to appreciate is it's a cycle. It's a negative loop. I call this the survival under stress cycle. And many of us are on the survival under stress cycle, and we're used to it. This feels like the new normal to us. This is why sometimes we can think of the phrase, stop the train, I want to get off, right? You won't be able to get ahead in your career if you are on the survival under stress cycle. It keeps you locked into patterns. It narrows your thinking and problem solving, and it makes you reactive. Now, in contrast, let me give you an example of that same situation, how you can handle it with calm, confidence, and to be productive because you follow the 50% rule. So, when you get back to your desk to do the assignment, you do a 1 to 3 minute technique that gives you access to your best concentration and creativity, right? It allows you to come up with clear lessons learned, strategic recommendations, and that's what you really focus your presentation on because you know that's what will be influential over senior management. When you start to get nervous about the thought of presenting in front of senior management, you can easily change your self-talk to be confident, and you even use an acupressure point that instantly calms your nerves. You do enough of a job to get to your daughter's play, and because of how you've handled it, you feel relaxed. So you rejuvenate, you get that connection. When you wake up once in the night thinking about the presentation, no problem, you use a technique to get back to sleep in 3 minutes. Your presentation is impactful, and then you have great momentum the rest of the day because you know that you've had a good influence both for your project as well as for your career. And that is the point. Notice the positive cycle, right? This is what it means to be on the cycle of success under stress. You kept your physical reactions calm with what you did to control them, right? You were able to have confident thoughts, and your performance clearly was superior, and the rest of your day was able to be productive. That's the cycle of success under stress. And you can see that it all came from there were so many opportunities to intervene, right? Where you could just control what you could control. Notice here that nothing changed in the actual work environment. The presentation's the same. You still had to get to your child's play. You didn't manage the stress. You just managed yourself. You can control your physical reactions. You can control your perspective. And you can control the way you solve problems. All you have to do to get on the cycle of success under stress is take each opportunity you have to control what you can control. And that's what it means to be impeccable for your 50%.
Sharon, in the book, you also put forth the concept of stress shifting. Now, most of us just have too much work and not enough time. We're exhausted. How can we apply these stress shifters to get more of the right work done during the day and come home with more energy for the night?
This is another example of how you can control your physiology, right? You can control your perspective and you can control the problem. So let's take some examples here. Here's how you can control your own physical reactions. Most of us have an approach to our day, which is push, 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 do, 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 go, 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 from the time we wake up till the time we drop exhausted at night, right? We do this just to keep up, but it's not the way for us to get the best focus or come home with the most energy. Rather, we want to get our physical reactions to work for us. Let me take a moment to show you how. See, our nervous system is the part of our body that controls our response to all these demands and the bombardment. There's two parts to it, one which I call the on button, one the off button. The on button activates and energizes us. Like literally, anytime you have to think more, do more, solve problems, rush from place to place, we're calling upon that activating part of our nervous system. Then we have a calming part of our nervous system. It helps us to relax and regroup, access our intuition, think creatively. The way that we're built as human beings is that we're supposed to have balance between those two parts, to put out a lot of effort, then rejuvenate and refuel. But the way we live in our society now, of course, we're only getting our energy by pushing ourselves, right? We rarely refuel. We see it as indulgent, and who has the time anyway? So by balancing the two, that's the key to being smarter, more effective leader, and coming home with more energy. Here's what you do. You use an optimal pattern, which is to use the energizing part of your nervous system to push yourself with intense concentration for a period of approximately 90 minutes. That's that on button at full throttle. And then you follow it by a brief period in which you engage the rejuvenating part of your system, the off button. It's a sprint followed by a recovery. There's any number of things that you can do during your busy work days to recover. And in the book, Success Under Stress, I offer a number of examples of breathing and walking and meditating and stretching and visualizations and social interactions. And you can do all of them for 3 minutes or more if you have the time. And many of them you can do for 1 minute or less. And they will really work to clear away the stresses and to refuel you. Now, it's not indulgent. In fact, when you approach your workday with this pattern to optimize your physical reactions, Tony Schwartz's group has shown that you'll get more work done over the course of a day, come home with up to 30% more energy. Plus, when you start to engage this part of your nervous system that we're calling the off button, you're going to be better at connecting the dots and accessing your intuition and seeing the big picture. And that's where innovation and leadership comes from. So you're going to be smarter to boot. So that's an example of how you can control your physiology. You can also control the problem, really, in order to get the right work done and come home with more energy. There's so many approaches that you can take to reduce your workload and distractions. Even things that seem out of your control are within your control. Just for example, other people's interruptions. It's still up to you how you respond. Rather than feel that you have to be available and drop everything when someone approaches you, be more intentional. Here's how you can be impeccable for your 50%. You can make one of three choices. Use the acronym ACT on interruptions to remember them. So A stands for allow the interruption. So only allow it if it fits with the criteria you've set forth. Is the matter equally as important as anything that you're working on now? The key, of course, is to set your criteria before you get to the interruption. Otherwise, you'll just cave, right, in the situation. C stands for cut it off at the pass. Turn off your notifications. Make a frequently asked questions document that directs people to consult it before they come to you, etc. T stands for triage. You don't have to drop what you're doing. Just do what the emergency room nurse does, right? She diagnoses, or he diagnoses, the situation, offers a plan to be implemented, and then get back to your work. I also urge you, really, to take a more proactive stance in sorting out your priorities by talking regularly with your manager, asking for role clarity within and across teams. There's many, many exercises in the book that can help you to really have clarity on your role, because it's stressful when you're operating either above or below the level of your role, so you really want to have clarity. So even though there'll always be too much work and not enough time, when you're impeccable for your 50%, you'll have a lot more control. And it will allow you to get more work done and come home with more energy.
Okay, so how does a person know that they're resilient to stresses? I mean, how can they tell if they're on a cycle of success under stress or not?
Right. Well, the way...
Do they know?
The way that you ask it, it's almost like you could ask your friends, right?
Exactly.
We generally see signs of stress across our brain, our body, and behavior. So in your brain, you might notice things like racing thoughts or feel overwhelmed. It's hard to concentrate. You feel foggy. Short-term memory, forgetting. This is like definitely the first sign, right? Feeling anxious. Signs in your body, you know, sleep problems, very, very common. Being tired or wired, just the opposite. Digestive issues, muscle tension. And in behavior, you might be irritable, snap at people. You know, that the addictive feeling, the always on, right? You can't put it down. Feeling stuck and sort of frustrated by your circumstances, but like you can't figure out how to move past it. Taking pills in order to sleep or drinking more, all these kinds of things. And there is a quiz in the book, and it's also, you can take it online at SharonMelnick.com, and it can help you to see if you're on the survival under stress cycle and give you some recommendations to get started.
Okay, this is another interesting concept, bordering on science fiction, but let's go with it here. Now, in the book, you say that we have an inner pharmacy that we don't even know about. What is this inner pharmacy? And can you give us an example how we can access it to help us stay high performing under day-to-day stress?
Sure. Well, to have success under stress, you know, you want to stay in a state where you're calm, confident, you know, you're able to focus and even enjoy the ride, right? Yet throughout the day, we're facing challenges that derail us from that state. You want to be able to get back there on demand so that you don't lose time and productivity. So I would say many of us are accessing an external pharmacy right now, right? We call it going to get a cup of coffee, going to the vending machine, right? Taking a pill to sleep at night, or many of us just don't do anything at all. We just like tough it out and feel bad. So we do have access to an inner pharmacy. And once you know how to use the full resources of your body, You can energize when tired, calm when wired, ground when anxious, cool down when angry and frustrated, get focused when overwhelmed. It's like, you name it, you know, it's you can do anything instantly on demand and you don't have to go anywhere and it doesn't cost a thing. So let me give you a couple of examples here. So from the book, in the section where I'm writing about how to stay rational when someone is driving you nuts, right? You can learn about a breathing approach you can do when you're angry or frustrated or impatient. Because when you get into these states, it's a very heated feeling. You even say things like, you know, my blood was boiling. So within your inner pharmacy is cooling breath, cooling breath. Within a few breaths, you'll get cool, calm, and collected. So you'll stay poised and not react to that difficult person. Cooling breath is a reverse breath. You'll breathe in through your mouth. You'll breathe in through your mouth with kind of like a sipping motion, right? So if I were going to exaggerate it, it would sound like, right? Okay. But that's the exaggerated version. And you're going to do the nuanced version because you're going to do it while you're in a meeting with someone instead of rolling your eyes, right? Breathe in through your mouth with a sipping motion and then out normally through your nose. Right, okay. So try it now, actually, just for a moment. Breathe in through your mouth with a sipping motion. And if you're doing it right, then you should feel like a cooling and a drying sensation over the top of your tongue. You got it. Excellent. So what you're doing there is you're detoxifying your liver. So it's very healthy for you. And one thing I will say is I've learned from doing a lot of resilience training in companies recently, I get a lot of feedback afterwards that people were walking around all day just using the cooling breath, right? And I have to admit, I was not aware until I heard this feedback just how angry and frustrated and pissed off people are on a daily basis. But use your cooling breath, folks. It will enable you to think clearly, not react. And yes, you can do this with your kids. You can teach it to your kids even. So that's an example of something where you can instantly calm yourself. Another example in the book, when we're talking about dealing with doubts and fears, you can learn about what I call the panic reset button. So let's say you're in a meeting, you're nervous to speak up. No worries. There's an acupressure point on the inside of your third finger, and when you press it with your thumb, it activates a nerve that will unclench the tightness in your chest and allow you immediately to start breathing easier. So within seconds, it stops the nervousness. So this is just another example of our inner pharmacy, right? And there's lots of other examples in the book. Like, for example, if you wake up in the middle of the night with racing thoughts, you know, there's a way that you can access that very relaxing part of your nervous system, get back to sleep within 3 minutes. So remember, it's not about stress management. It's about self-management. So making use of the tools in your inner pharmacy, that's certainly within your control.
Sharon, if you work in an organization where the culture is very fast-paced, it's demanding, it's reactive, and what can you do to improve that culture so that it's less stressful and more conducive to everyone's success?
Yeah. You know, Dave, the quickest way to create change on any team is to do your part to create a 50% culture, a 50% culture. That's when...
This was what you were talking about before, the impeccable for your 50%?
Yeah, that's right. So in a 50% culture, every person is following the 50% rule, okay? So imagine if everyone you worked with was impeccable for their 50%. They were accountable, they respected you, they communicated, they managed their own emotions instead of taking them out on you. Okay, you can wake up now, Dave. But really, it doesn't actually have to be a dream. I've seen teams undergo this transformation just like that. So you can apply the 50% rule as a group. What you do is the team starts off with a collective vision. Like, what would an ideal day look like for this group in terms of working together? How would we work? How would we communicate? What would we do or not do? What's the culture we would create? You create that vision. And then each person is equipped to do their 50%, right? They kind of get the success under stress skill set. And then many of the inefficiencies are cleaned up. This approach prevents a lot of what we refer to, you know, as drama and dysfunction and fire drills. So it automatically reduces stress. And you can really see a gain in productivity. Like, for example, I was doing a training with a big consumer products company, and one of the things they decided on their ideal day is that they wanted more uninterrupted time to do and to think, to be less bogged down in meeting time. Okay, who doesn't want that, right? So as a team, we came up with a whole new approach to meetings. 45 minutes only. People who are the key decision makers are listed on the email invite, and for everyone else, it's optional. Meeting notes are provided for anyone who wants to keep in the loop but doesn't want to spend the time at the meeting. The 15 minutes at the end of every meeting can be used for recovery activities, etc. See, they each recognize themselves on that survival under stress cycle. They just had a great play on the drunk driving prevention campaign. They said, you know, friends don't let friends stay on the survival under stress cycle. Mm-hmm. So they started to create a 50% culture in which everyone really was doing their part. So the idea of the 50% rule is, if you're listening to this now, don't wait for someone else to initiate these changes, right? Like, you start to bring up what you're noticing on the team. You start to ask questions. You start to share and role model some of the strategies that you're doing to have more clarity and be more productive. You can be a leader in any situation. Be proactive. Start to bring up ideas that will create a 50% culture on your team, and then you can all have success under stress.
Wow. Very optimistic, very positive. But truth of the matter, the reality of the situation is there are difficult people in the workplace. You have to deal with them every single day, whether they're a boss or a peer or even a client or a customer. How do you apply this 50% rule when interacting with difficult people in the workplace? I mean, especially if you think the other person is the one causing the stress.
Oh, Dave, the arena in which it's hardest to apply the 50% rule, right, is when dealing with other people who are not being impeccable for their 50%. In fact, as you know, we do a webinar on this topic called Friction-Free Relationships here at the AMA, and we go into great depth on this topic. And, you know, it's a question that I'm always asked, and we always refer to, it's just like that proverbial scenario on the schoolyard, right? Even if the other child hits you first, the teacher is only going to turn around to see you, right? Your career is only going to be evaluated based on your response. So if you're trying to improve a conflictual relationship, focus on maximizing how effective you are in your 50%, and stop hoping that they will be different and focusing on what they're doing or not doing. Focus on improvements, like from your contribution, right? Like, are you presenting your request in terms of what's in it for them? Are you being clear and presenting your request in a concise way? Or are you expecting them to wade through a lot of things and figure out what you want? You know, that's not being impeccable. Have you tried killing them with kindness, right? That's an approach that often works. So if you've been impeccable and effective in your part, and there's been no change from the other person, then here's how you can be effective in your part, is that you can really take this information and realize that they are revealing their limitations to you, that they are showing that they have a longstanding adaptation that is not amenable to change, and you don't want to continue to have any expectation that that situation will improve. And then you have a choice to make. Mm-hmm. So what I want you to see is that even if you're dealing with someone who makes you tear your hair out or come home and complain every day to your spouse and try not to kick the dog, right? That even in that situation when you absolutely cannot control the other person, there's still so much that you can do, right? You can adjust your expectations. You can sort through what's your contribution and what's theirs. You can use cooling breath, right, to not react to them. You can use many of the recovery activities in Success Under Stress, the book, to clear away your emotions so that you don't get derailed, you don't numb out on the internet or do anything unproductive. You can get right on track and stay productive. And you can use strategies to make that relationship, find a way to make that relationship work for you, or be empowered to find a different situation for yourself. So you can see really from all the situations that we've talked about, all the challenges in the workplace, that no matter what is going on around you, when you're impeccable for your 50%, then you can be resilient. You can transcend. You can turn obstacles into opportunities. You can stay calm, confident, and productive, even when the pressure's on. And that's what it means to have success under stress.
That's awesome. We've been speaking to Dr. Sharon Melnick. She's author of a great new book entitled Success Under Stress: Powerful Tools for Staying Calm, Confident, and Productive When the Pressure's On. Sharon, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Dave.
AMA webinars provide 90 minutes of focused how-to instruction and specific solutions for solving your most pressing work issues. For $149, you'll participate in an in-depth course taught by an expert who will answer your questions and guide you through the process a step at a time. For a complete schedule of upcoming AMA webinars, visit our events calendar at amanet.org/events. Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.